hands. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Come on, shout glory to God. Come on, we serve an awesome and mighty God. Man. Well, welcome to Heart Christian Center. Yeah, come on. Mr. Free. So, if it's your first time here, welcome. We are charismatic with the seatbelt. All right, so you done seen some hallelujah. When I say with the seatbelt, we're not up here putting our hand in baskets of snakes and all kind of crazy stuff going on. We don't do that. But we are charismatic with the seatbelt. You can shout hallelujah. You can shout glory. You could take off and run from here if you really feel the need to. Just say, yeah, it's charismatic with a seatbelt, you know? But, yeah, there's another. Look, and we charismatic in Spanish, too. Come on. I believe you can be in the morning. It's your first time here. If no one has said hello to you, no, it's not true. But you'll feel like nobody's really said hi to you. Let me be the first to say hello to you this morning. And we're happy. We're glad that you're here. Come on, Harvest. Give it up for our new visitors in the place. You might have gotten this visitor card or VIP card. We think that you are a very important person. Anybody who's just their first time here, very important. And guess what? Anybody who is their 15th, 20th, 30th time here, guess what? You're very important as well, but we probably have to give you information. Do us a favor. Fill out that card. Make sure you get that back. Get that back to us because we want to keep in touch with you. We want to let you know about what we have going on here. But I believe you found where you belong. I'm telling you. I believe you have found the church where you can belong before you believe, as one of my favorite pastors puts it, all right? And so guess what? You might not even be in a place where you necessarily know about Jesus yet, but guess what? You can belong, all right? Because none of us have it all together. We're all on the process of sanctification because sanctification is what? Process. So none of us have arrived yet. And so some of us might not even be believing correctly in certain areas, but guess what? You can belong to your Harvest Christian. The three things that we're called to do, the first is love God, next, and then the last is make disciples, all right? So we're called to love God, love people, make disciples. We wash, rinse, repeat. That's what we do here. So we're not really concerned about this overhyping membership. You know, make sure that the flooded every Sunday morning, that will be great, and that is probably coming at one point in time. We believe in discipleship here. So you are not alone in your walk with Christ. You are not alone in this life. Okay, you have a place where you can belong before you believe. You have a place where you can be discipled, where you can grow in the faith. You can have people to keep you accountable. You have people that are there for you in your high times and in your low times. Amen? So welcome. And obviously, you guys have already met our pastor. Whether it's your first time here, you've been here, you know our pastor, Dr. David Walker. Yeah. So that's the pastor, founder of Farmers Christian Center International. And then Dr. Baron Walker. Baron Walker, executive administrator. All right, and so obviously they're not just our friends, they are my people. Okay, so, yeah, that's why I look like my mom without all the people. Okay, all right, and then obviously I gotta give honor to my baby, my wife, my boo thing, Shorty, my wife, Ebony. Y'all, she just got her license in the mail too. It says Walker now. She's been Ebony Jones for 2 years. So baby, just know that I love you. I appreciate you, man. My good, we're just know when to, if the when I need the right words. And so she just, you just be blessed. Thank you. Boy, you're good with you. So let me not get carried away. I can feel Deacon Simmons looking at me. I can feel it. Let me not get carried away. This, are y'all ready to receive this morning? Man, I'm telling you, God's got a word for all of us in the room. You're open. I believe that it is going to bless you. I'm going to challenge you, okay? And so here we challenge you, right? We don't have this. We're not hope dealers here. Where you're going to come in and get a message every Sunday to make you feel real all nice, warm, and fuzzy inside. Man, you're probably not going to find that here. You're going to find messages that challenge you, that push you into the direction of who God called you to be, of who Christ wants you to be. Amen. So you're going to be challenging here. And guess what? We're going to love on you through it. We're going to love on you through it. You're going to receive some messages here that are going to encourage you. But you're going to see some that are going to challenge you. And so this morning, I'm going to challenge you to be open to what God wants to say this morning. All right. And so we're back on our series on the Gospel of John. We just came out of Acts 2:42 to 47, we just came about talking about being devoted. Devoted to what? Fellowship, being devoted to prayer, being devoted to good doctrine, right? So we just came out of talking about being devoted. We took a pause from being on the Gospel of John. Now, well, y'all, we back in the Gospel of John, okay? And so I know y'all like, some of y'all like, man, we've been on the Gospel of John for like 8 weeks total. Yes. I mean, y'all know when we get tired of saying things to our children, sometimes they just beginning to get it. And so guess what? We're in the Book of John, and the word should never get old to us. We should never grow tired of the word, of no portion of it. There's no amount of scripture that you can hear too many times where you can sit there and say, I hadn't already heard that before. No, you need to know that Jesus is you. That's something that you need to know constantly, that you need to remind yourself of. You need to know that he is the vine, you have the branches, he who abides in him. You need to know that. And so guess what? We back in the Gospel of John. We'll be talking about a couple of different things probably in the next upcoming week. I'm going to talk about a couple of different things in the Gospel of John. But somebody say, stick with them. Stick with us, all right? Stick with yourself, Pastor, whoever we're looking at this month, and I'm going to be blessed by it. And the Gospel of John, it should have been producing some stuff out of us by now. It should have produced some fruit out of us, all right? We should have an understanding of who God is, who Christ is, and knowing and following him, all right? But this morning in the Gospel of John, we'll be in John chapter 11 this morning, all right? And so I believe that one of the greatest challenges to anybody who is a part of the faith, anybody who is a professing believer, one of the greatest challenges that we face is being Christ-like. I struggle with Leavenworth City trash. So in those moments, I don't struggle with being Christ-like. There are moments where I struggle with whoever it is in the drive-thru, Popeyes. I love me Popeyes chicken. But there are sometimes they really test my love walk. I want my chicken fresh. And how many of us know the little things that can sometimes take you over that really shouldn't take you over? It's the little things that really challenge you in your love walk. All right. Sometimes not the big thing. Sometimes it's family members that challenge you in your love walk. Sometimes it's the person you're sitting next to. Sometimes church folk. Matter of fact, probably a lot of times it's church folk because they really should know right or wrong. We should really know how to walk in love. We should really know how to exemplify the fruits of the Spirit. We're challenged in our love walk a lot of times by the people that we know, whether on our job or in our families or even in the church amongst believers. Our character, our behavior, our identity as disciples in Christ, it's always good. It's always tested. I don't know about y'all, but I'd be Lord, can we hold up on the test? Can we have a bumper week? You give me and we have some crack, just give me something else other than a test, right? And so we find ourselves in our Christ walk and being like Christ, we find ourselves what? We find ourselves being tested. Amen. But I want you to be encouraged this morning, okay? And there are often times where we think that being Christ-like is limited just to how we treat others, right? But I want to challenge you this morning in your thinking. Challenge you with the question is, are you Christ-like when it comes to the will of God? Do you think like Christ when it comes to God's will for your life? Do you think like Christ when it comes to God's plan for your life? Are you still Christ-like when the will of the one who sent you, the one he knows the numbers on, he knows the numbers on your head, the one who put the stars in the sky, the one who placed the moon and the sun where they should be, told them when to come up? Are you Christ-like when it doesn't make sense? Because there's going to be moments where being a disciple of Christ means that pressure is going to come, okay? It means the stress is going to rise. It means that there are moments where it's going to seem like God's will is contradicting how you feel. It's contradicting what you believe. It's contradicting. It seems like his will is contradicting what you really desire. Or even when you feel like his will is contradicting his word. Notice I said when you feel like it. So even when his will is contradicting his word, you have a choice. And in that moment, in that choice, are you responding how Christ did to the will of God? This is going to be good to tell you. Bless me. This morning, we're preaching on, and if you need a title this morning, Uncomfortable Glory. Okay? Uncomfortable Glory. We're coming from John chapter 11. And when we arrive, before we even get to John chapter 11, we see that there are six different signs that the Messiah is on the scene. There are six different signs that Jesus is here, and those signs have miracles. So miracles are the testament of who Christ is. They are not testament to who your pastor is, to who your favorite podcaster is. Miracles are a sign of who Christ is. Are you following me this morning? And so we see that these six major miracles that they have pointed to Jesus being God manifesting in the flesh. We know that in the book of John, it tells us that Jesus is deity. Amen. And so we see that these six signs that they have confirmed with the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 53, verse 5-6, in the eyes of the blind will be open and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute will sing for joy. The water will gush in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Somebody say, that's Jesus. And so we arrive in John chapter 11, verses 1 to 16. And it says this, now a man was sick, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. And Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. And it was her brother Lazarus who was sick, verse 3. So the sister sent a message to him, Lord, the one you love is sick. Jesus heard it. He said, this sickness will not end in death, but it is for what? The glory of God, so that the Son may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus loved Martha, his sister, and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Then after that, he said to the disciples, let's go to Judea again. Rabbi, the disciples told him, just now the Jews tried to stone you. You're going there again. Aren't there 12 hours in a day? Jesus answered. If anyone walks in the day, he doesn't stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks during the night, he does what? Stumble. The light is not in him. He said this, and then he told them, our friend Lazarus is falling asleep, but I'm on my way to wake him up. Somebody said, wake up. Then the disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will get well. Jesus, however, wasn't speaking about his death. They thought he was speaking about natural sleep. So Jesus then told them plainly, Lazarus has died. I am glad for you that I wasn't there so that you may see. But let's go to him. 16, then Thomas called twin, said this to his fellow disciples. Let's go too so that we may what? So in the first six verses of John chapter 11, there's a lot that unfolds. We learn that Jesus loved, that somebody that Jesus loves is what? Sick. And yet there is this urgent, yet though there is this urgent situation, Jesus doesn't rush. Doesn't immediately move to relieve Lazarus from his ailment, to relieve Lazarus from his suffering, to relieve Lazarus from his pain. Jesus doesn't rush. He doesn't immediately go to relieve Lazarus, right? And so we see that Jesus doesn't even move fast to relieve Mary and Martha from their emotional pain. So it seems like there's something that this writer wants the readers to know. And guess what he wants us to know is that God is not bound by our sense of urgency. You may be in a point or a position in your life where you feel like, God, I need you now. Hurry up. God is not bound by our sense of urgency. His relationship with time, it is not dictated by a single clock. Not dictated by the rising or the setting of the sun. And it's not dictated by any deadline that you propose to him. Your Sunday. To make my situation turn around. But what if it doesn't turn around on Sunday? And so God isn't dictated by our deadlines. I want us to remember this. If we would go to John chapter 4, verse 24. John chapter 4, verse 24, it tells us this. And this is important in remembering who God is and the attributes of God is that God is spirit. John chapter 4, verse 24 tells us that God is spirit, right? And so his relationship with time is like ours. And I love how Moses puts it in Psalm chapter 90, verse 2. He says that God is from everlasting to everlasting. And he reiterates, our God. So God is not bound by any sort of time. And then Isaiah echoes it's in Isaiah 57, 50, it declares that God inhabits eternity. It means that time bends to whatever God decides to do with it. So I want you to know that our finite minds cannot contain an infinite or infinite God. He's not bound to a man-made schedule, which means that God is not bound by your timeline. He's not running on our timeline. There are certain things that me and my wife thought we would have right now. I thought that I would have been a child by now. We're 2 years deep. 24, I'm sorry. Help me. Thank you. Give me great thank you. And well, here's the face. He was looking at me like I was going to mess it up. So we married for 2 years, come in about 2 weeks. And we thought we would have a child by now. God doesn't run on. There are moments where I thought that at 33, going on 34, I would have a different thing situated in my life right now. Yada, 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 do this, do that, whatever. But God is not time. And maybe what you put on God's timeline is not a part of what He desires for you. Maybe what you're putting on God's timeline is out of His will. That's why it has not manifested. It's not that prayer doesn't work. It's that you're... Well, what do we happen is that Jesus hears this troubling news about Lazarus, yet He chooses to remain for how long, y'all? 2 more days. Why? Why does Jesus do this? John chapter 11, verse 4 is where we can find the answer. When Jesus heard it, He said, "This sickness will not end in death, but is for the what? Glory of God. Let the Son of God through it. Let God's greatest glory is revealed in your breath, not after it." What if His greatest glory isn't just revealed in your break, but it's also revealed in your burden? It's revealed in what's hard. What if His power isn't displayed in seasons of ease, but it's displayed in the hurts? So there are many times we find ourselves in these moments where we feel as if our lamenting is going unheard. We feel as if God can see what I have going on right now. Recently, I was on my knees crying out to the Lord because me and my wife have been in a situation or been in situations where this thing seems insurmountable. It seems like, why, God, am I here? How did I end up here? This isn't what life was supposed to look like. This isn't how things were supposed to be. This isn't what I imagined when I graduated college. This isn't what I imagined when I enlisted. This isn't what I imagined my life to be like right now. How in the world, Lord, what is this person? And so there are many people who find ourselves in these moments, y'all. God, can you see me? That's been you recently. It's been me. God, do you see what I got going on right now? This is crazy. And you might be in a situation in your life where you're doing everything you're supposed to be doing. But is God trying to reveal His glory through your uncomfortable? Come on. And so let's go back to John chapter 11, verse 4. We find out that He waits. Why? Because Christ be glorified. Is Jesus being delayed in your circumstances? Does it seem like a deliverance of God is being delayed in your circumstances? Because Christ be glorified. And so the apostle Peter, he reminds us this in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. He says what? Dear friends, don't be surprised when the fiery ordeal comes among you to do what? Test you. As if something unusual were happening to you. Now, before we get to that second half, there was something that the Holy Spirit was reminded of, that you should expect the trial. You should expect the suffering. You should expect the valley. If everything's been peachy keen in your life, everything's been all good all the time, you've never had a moment where you've been like, oh my gosh, like this is crazy. If you've never had a moment like that, I have a I'm imagining these service anger. Anybody? We cannot delay. We cannot wait, Harvest. We cannot afford to be complacent. The time is now. The second thing we have to know is this, is that those that walk with Christ, they will not stumble. Jesus knew that he was in the Father's hands. Isaiah, the book of Isaiah and in the Old Testament, not from being stung. Say that he's going to die from a mob. He's going to be nailed to the cross. And so Jesus knew that his life was in the Father's hands. He could only die in the way that God intended him to. And because he was surrendered to the will of God, he walked in what? But I think it's interesting because the disciples, they could not return to Judea without Jesus. You can't go through any valley, through any affliction, through any suffering, through any hard time without Christ. If the disciples went without Jesus, it was over for them. So that means everywhere that God has called you to be, has called you to go, everything that he has called you to do, Christ, with the believer, is always with him. He does not lead you to a place where you should what? Stumble or fall. And so we see that Jesus is led to go back, led to visit a place that is dangerous. But when you walk with the light, you won't stumble. But the only way to truly walk with the light is to embrace the will of the Father. Jesus has embraced what God has called him to do. God has called him to serve and not be served. He has called him to be beaten, battered, and bruised for our iniquities. He's called him to be what? Son of God. He's called them to die on the cross for all of our sins. And so Jesus has embraced this will. So he knows, I can only go out the way the Father intended me to. So you have to embrace the will of the Father. And so I want to ask you this today. Are you willing to trust God's timing even when it seems delayed? Are you willing to go where he calls even when it looks dangerous? Are you willing to walk in his light, or are you stumbling in your own way? I mean, no, light ain't hard to find. Light isn't hard. When everything else is dark and there is only a glimmer of light somewhere, you can see the light. That's why it's so important in our world today that we have beacons, not of hope, but beacons of Christ, that we have Christ walking. It should be easy. That's why the world picks on us so much. The world isn't hating you. There's a problem. Maybe you're not really a light. But the world picks on Christianity and know that, notice they never attack Muhammad, never attack Allah, they never attack Buddha. Who do they always attack? He must be light. Are you hearing me this morning? And so there is this call to follow the light. But there's not only a call to follow the light, but there's this call to uncomfortable glory. John chapter 11, verses 11 to 14. Let's pick up right there. It says this. He said this, and he told them, our friend Lazarus is falling asleep, but I'm on my way to wake him up. Then the disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will get well. Jesus, however, was speaking about his death, but they thought he was speaking about natural sleep. So Jesus then told them plainly, Lazarus has died. Verse 15, I'm glad. Lazarus has died. I'm glad for you that I wasn't there so that you may believe. But let's go see him. And so Jesus tries to communicate to his disciples that there's this term he uses that's asleep. So we see that the disciples, they're still thinking in earthly terms. And then there's a statement there that's what? That's startling, right? If somebody in my family or somebody, one of my friends had passed away, someone would have looked at me and said, oh, he's just, talking about my boy. Talking about my friend, just asleep. But we'll see that the disciples don't have an understanding. of what Jesus is trying to communicate. But then Jesus, he turns, he goes back and he says, what? I'm glad for you. How could this be good for me? That somebody whom Jesus loves, somebody whom you love, I take notice that Lazarus is Jesus' friend. So in our natural man named mind, doesn't it make sense to move quickly? When he first receives the news, that what? Lazarus is sick. Then he stays 2 more days and allows Lazarus to do what? Die. What kind of friend? But he does this so that he may be glorified through the affliction of Lazarus. And not only that, well, that the disciples witness something that solidifies what they believe. So Jesus knew that there was a doubt in there somewhere, that some of them might have still had some questions. We know that Thomas is gone on to be on what? All right. And so was Jesus glad that his friend died? Of course not, but he was glad that his disciples were about to witness the glory of God, that their faith was going to be strengthened and their belief in him and the Father, it was going to be solidified. Mary, Martha, and the disciples, what they realized yet, the very thing caused them pain, the very thing caused them grief, the very thing caused them uncertainty, the uncomfortable mess that they were in going to bring glory to God. There's a truth that we have to grasp this morning as well, and that is this, that the goal of God is not to make you comfortable. The goal of the Father is not to put you in the best scenario that you don't have to rely on. How many of us have been there before? Bank account full, job flowing, everything moving how it should, everything right. Don't check the company where they need to, cars running and working fine, everything's almost as like you've been in, sometimes you've ever been in a situation where, well, something about this. Nah, it's too, like when your kids get too quiet at home. What's going on in there? That's where I've been. Every day of my life, but going like, all right, real, what? Guess what I'm doing? I'm anticipating. All right. Something comes. And so guess what? You have to prepare for your suffering. You have to prepare for your affliction. You have to prepare for your valley. It's guaranteed. We read it this morning in 1 Peter, right? Don't be surprised when the fiery ordeal comes. James chapter 1 tells us to count it all joy. When you means that there should be an expectation on every believer that this is going to be hard. At some point in time, how many of us in here, it was easier before I believed? Before I came into the saving knowledge that Jesus was Lord, before I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, before I said yes to his will, yes to his will. If you would have told me it was going to be like this, Lord, choose somebody else. But little did I know that I would find my greatest joy and I would really see who Christ is in my lowest moments. And so the goal of God is not how comfortable can I make Stephen? But the goal of God's will is to glorify Christ. Why is that? So that you and others, you witness your life, that they might do what? Believe. And so it's easy to say, man, I want my life to glorify God, right? It sounds real good, real churchy. How many of us want to glorify God? Me! Everybody coming down to the altar. But if you knew that your glory meant affliction, it meant suffering, it meant thorns, it meant some stuff is not going to be as sweet as I want it to be. If you knew that, which you do now, will you still say yes? And it's easy to say yes, what, right now? It's Sunday. We done hit 3-4 worship songs. We might have even wanted to sing your favorite song. It's easy right now. But one thing I love to say, when the pack doesn't pick up his ball, Sister so-and-so isn't available to talk right now. when family can't come and visit you in the hospital because they're busy. It seems like nobody understands. Will you still follow? No, this is that tested faith that's going to produce results. Faith that is tested, it produces something. What is that result? Christ being revealed. The overall arching goal of Stephen J. Walker's life is that Christ be revealed through it. That is why I was put on the planet. That is why I was put on earth, is that Christ is glorified in my life. By whatever means, God decides to do it. You believe that God is sovereign, your prayer and your hope should be the same thing. That God, in whatever way you desire to use it. If that means you tell me and my wife to pack up and move halfway across the world into a third world country, Lord. But if you did, I would have to be okay with it. And there are times where we find ourselves where we're okay with our will, trying to fulfill his will. Man, I was praying not too long ago, man. And once again, me and my wife were just going through it. It seemed like it was one thing after another. If it wasn't the car, it was the finance. If it wasn't the finances, then I got a little sniffle. If I don't got a little sniffle in my back hurt. If it wasn't that, then something at the church is going down. If it's not that, then anybody else, you've been there before where if it ain't one thing, it's another thing. You like, all I need to do is hear a pin break, pencil break, and I'm like, lose it. I'm like, as the young folks say, crash out. I'm 33, so somebody on here might call me unk now. Please don't. You ever been there before where you're like, one more thing. God, I can't handle this anymore. I can't take it anymore. But it will is not to make you comfortable, but it's that God might be glorified through your life. There is this reclining power that works in trials. And then we look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. The Apostle Peter says this, you are being guarded by God's power through what? Faith or a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. You rejoice in this. There it is. What is your attitude like when it's delayed? Even though now, for a short time, if necessary, even though for now, for a short time, if necessary, you suffer in grief in one trial. In two trials, come on, can we get that on the screen? 1 Peter chapter 1, 5 through 7. Because I think it's important that you see this. In the same way, you who are younger, the right one? 1 Peter chapter 1? 1 Peter chapter 1. Because I think it's important for those that don't have one in, which is perfectly fine. 1 Peter 1. Verses 5 through 7. There we go. You are being guarded by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Next verse. You rejoice in this, even though for a short time. If necessary, you suffer grief in one trial, two trials. Thank you. If necessary, you suffer for grief in various trials so that the proven character of your faith may be the trial that you're in. God is trying to prove your faith. Maybe what you believe or what you profess to believe needs to be proven. It's easy to say I'm a Christian when everything is going great. Do you believe when everything is going terribly, terribly wrong? But it says so that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, which though perishable is refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What is God trying to reveal in your mess? What is God trying to reveal in your situation? What is he trying to reveal in your glory? Let me give you an answer. Who he is trying to reveal is Christ. So harvest, we got to take comfort in our trials. You have to take comfort in your trials. knowing that the testing of your faith is going to produce some results? Will you still follow in your trial? We're almost at the end here. John chapter 1, verse 16. Look at how the one who has gone on to know is doubting Thomas responds. John chapter 11, 16. He responds like this. He says, let's go to. Let's go to so that we may die with him. Remember what we said is that the apostles, they know, the disciples, they know. If we go back to Judea, death is for certain. But heart is in such a position, in such a place where, well, if we die, we die. But why? Why does Thomas feel that way? I want to ask you another question. Is that if following meant suffering, would you still follow? If his will meant walking through a wilderness season, will you still trust him? If his will meant danger and even death, that's what connects at the end result. Will you still say yes? And so Thomas' statements, they reveal something powerful. That above all, he was secure as long as he was walking with Christ. He was good as long as he was with Jesus. Thomas knows it's dangerous. What does he say? Let's go to. How often have you told the Lord, let's go to? God, if this is where you call me to do it, let's go to. Father, if this is where you have me right now, let's go. Everybody's left me, let's go. I feel like nobody sees me. I feel like no one else cares, let's go. I feel like they might fire me, let's go. I feel like I might lose my spouse. I've been trying and working towards it. I've been working really hard towards it, but it seems like it's just going to be me and the Lord and maybe even my children. Lost my job. Let's go. No money in my bank account. Family doesn't want anything to do with me. I may have put myself in this valley. I may have lost everything, and it really is my fault. It wasn't the enemy that did it. It wasn't Satan who caused it. It wasn't God, because we know that God has come to give life. Christ came to give life and give it more abundantly. Can't blame Satan, because I made a bad decision. So now I'm in a position now where in my suffering, in the thorn that my side, in my affliction, in my burden that I caused, now that I'm here, Lord, and sometimes we want deliverance to happen quick when we've put ourselves in a situation that we need to be delivered from. God is not bound to our timeline. Maybe the fire is good for you. Not even maybe. It is. The fire is good for those who believe. The refining process is good for you. Man, I used to hate, man, we played basketball. I played basketball as a kid, and my dad was a coach. No, you're a pastor. So you know him as a pastor, just a man. And I was a chunky kid. I was a husky side. And 30 pushed out. Listen, I was a big group. And I remember being in like grade school. And man, our team was great. It was a big deal we were at. And I remember playing basketball. And I hated running suicides. Y'all know what those are? Oh my God. Down, you have to. Old school is you touch the line. I don't know what they got going on now. You don't even got to touch the line. You just got to look good, dude. Just, Chris, you're familiar. You got to touch. If you don't touch the line, what's going to happen? And we would call that word what? Conditioning. Maybe the trial of what you're going through is conditioning you. I don't want to bend down and touch the line. I just want to make sure the coach ain't looking. Everybody do it again. That was, but maybe you're going through some conditioning. Because the wilderness that you're in, it might last for a minute. But what is it conditioning you for? The game. What is the game that everyday life? What is the game when I go to work and I'm dealing with some debt? I'm dealing with some people that don't like me. I'm dealing with my competitive officer and he don't got nothing nice to say about me. It seems like there's no favor. I done been through conditioning. What's conditioning? Prayer. What's conditioning? Fasting. What's conditioning? Devoted to fellowship. Devoted to fellowship. Devoted to gathering together. Whether it's Sunday, Thursday, Wednesday, life group. What's conditioning? Devoted to the apostles' teaching. Devoted to good doctrine. Devoted to good theology. So some of us, we don't last long in the trial, but we don't endure. We ain't conditioned. We ain't went through no conditioning. When you wake up early in the morning, the Lord is leading you to pray. Figure, wondering why you can't sleep. Guess what that is? Touch the line. When you don't really want to read your Bible, but the Lord is beckoning to read your Bible. He's calling. You can feel his word calling you like, then I haven't read my Bible. You've been through that before. Where you've been convicted that you haven't been in your word enough during the week. Yeah, but that's conditioning. Boxer go through some of the most extreme conditioning. Miles and miles of running. Why? Because to fight a guy like Floyd Mayweather for 12 rounds, you better be what? To fight a guy like Manny Pacquiao for 12 rounds, you had to be what? Probably ready to give up on Christ or give up on God because you and know that you've been through that condition. You should be more secure in who Christ is. You should be more secure in who God has called you to be. You should be more secure in, okay, God, if I'm going to walk in this, you told me to count it all joy because the testing of my faith is going to produce some patience. So I gotta let it work, knowing that it's perfecting something. You know how I know that verse? Okay. Man, let me get my word because it's a little. Before we saw what? That Thomas is good as long as he's with Jesus. And in closing, we see what? That there is a call to secure faith. There is a call to faith that is secure in Christ. Is your faith in some of us in here, you've been walking a long time and you've started to realize that times got hard, when it got tough, your faith was secure. Christ was so secure in your pastor. So when he couldn't pick up the phone, it shattered your reality into who God is. When your pastor did stumble, you did make a mistake, you did respond the wrong way, maybe your faith was secure in your pastor, not in Christ. Challenge you to think, is your faith secure in Christ? Maybe you were like me at one point and your faith was secure in your bank account or your faith was secure in what you could provide. So the Lord stripped you of everything you job. Puts you in a position to where the only one you can rely on is that who is Jehovah. Maybe your faith is secure in a bottle. Maybe your faith is secure in somebody landing. Maybe your faith is secure in pornography. These are questions that every believer should ask himself. Is my total reliance, dependence, trust? Is the substance of things that I hope for, the evidence of things that I don't see, is it secure in the one named Jesus? This is uncomfortable glory. Is your faith secure in Christ? not just when things are going well, not just when God answers your prayers, not just when he answers them, even in the way that you expect them to answer them. Is your faith secure? But even when he leads you through discomfort, remember that Jesus led Holy Spirit to the wilderness. He leads you to discomfort when he leads you through discomfort, through uncertainty and sacrifice. Is your faith secure in who Jesus is? The truth is this morning is that God is often going to be in places that we don't desire to. The things that are hard. That if that's where he placed you, that's exactly where you God placed you, a scenario and a situation that seems that's hard, difficult. Guess what? If he placed you there, he's not leading you to a place where you should stumble or fall, but he is leading you to a place where he wants your total reliance, your total dependence, your total trust. He wants it all to be. I want you to look to the hills for where your help comes from. Where does your help come? Yeah, it comes from the Lord. You might feel like you're going through something. No, I understand. You might feel like you're going through something that's insane. But take heart. Be encouraged this morning. It's that the testing of the trial that you're going, the circumstance, the afflicting, the thing that seems like a burden is meant to refine. It's uncomfortable glory. Well, where's the glory part come in? We're all glorified with Jesus on the day of his return. Your season might seem like it's going, your wilderness might last for a long time. Might be a month, might be 2 months, might be a year. But if God's called you to wilderness, not to a place. You should stumble or fall. By doing the covenant of Israel, you hold yourself to be in the wilderness. Even in the wilderness, God provides manna. Even in circumstances that you put yourself in because of your sin, because of your mistake, because you messed up, you did the wrong thing. Was it nobody's fault? Not even the devil's. It's nobody's fault but yours. Then God still provides wilderness. Why? Because he needs his glory to be revealed. Who knows wrong? If stepping's in the wilderness, it's the best place for my glory. If stepping's in the valley, it's the best place for my glory to shine. If it seems insurmountable to step, then guess what? That's right where I want. Because he has no other option but to call on the Jesus so that he might be saved. As our heads are bowed, I will close this morning as we're sitting in the Lord. Maybe that's you this morning. You feel like, man, this is insurmountable, God. This is uncomfortable, God. This is, I shouldn't be here. And even if I put myself, God, do you even see me? That do I have anyone here that like that? Now, maybe that's you this morning. I just want you to slip your hand a little. I just want you to go come down. I just want you to say a prayer this morning. You feel like life is beating your tail. You feel like you're always down. God, why do you have me here? Why can't I hear that feeling? You see the hands and hearts of those that are calling out for you. Those that feel like their affliction is lasting longer than necessary. Father, comfort each and every person with their hand lifted right now. Touch the hearts of each and every person, Lord, who is beckoning for you to come, who is crying out for deliverance, Lord. Father, I thank you that you're bringing deliverance in their valley. That you're bringing deliverance to them through their trial, through their burden, through their affliction. God, show yourself strong. Rescue them, Father, when you deem it necessary. Father, help each and every person with their hands and hearts that are lifted right now in this morning, signifying to you that they need you. Father, in this moment, Father, help them to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. Father, help us to rely and depend on you, Lord, in this season that seems insurmountable and these challenges that seem hard. Father, help us to rely and depend on you. Help us to know that it is the joy of the Lord. It is your joy. It is our strength. So, Father, let our tongues be like fire when you deliver us. Let us scream from the mountaintops that you are good, God. Let us scream from the mountaintops that you are good. Let us scream from the mountaintops that Jesus is Lord. Let us know. Let our faith be cemented in who you are and in who your son is. Father, I thank you that God has provision. That you're Jehovah Jireh. That you are their peace. Father, grant peace to those who are struggling right now. Father, for those who are in affliction or in a burden or in a valley that is caused by them, Father, show them mercy. Father, cry out for mercy for those this morning. We cry out for grace for all of those who need favor. Father, we thank you that you're moving on the hearts of men in situations where we need our bosses, those that are our employers, Father, to line up. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you're moving on the hearts of men in each and every situation. Thank you, Lord, that Christ be glorified in our valley, that Christ be glorified in their affliction, that Christ is glorified in our home. Lord, remind us. Remind us of who you are. Show us. Reveal yourself to us. Give praise, glory, and honor.